The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, up to 10% of Ireland's occupied housing stock may be at risk of overheating. That's a figure that's likely to increase as our summers get warmer. So do we need to start redesigning our houses to suit the climate? Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer in Housing, Planning and Development at the Technological University in Dublin, joins me now.
Yeah, a lot of it is to do with the way that we're building homes these days. We're building them to a very high standard of you know, BER, the College on Building and Energy Ratings. And also, traditionally, Irish homes have been designed to keep in heat, right? So a lot of, if you go to kind of Malta or you go to Greece or some of those countries, you'll find that, you know, the houses have thick walls, they've got smaller windows, and they're designed and they're painted white, and they're designed to reflect heat and to keep heat out of the building. Irish homes are traditionally designed to keep heat into the building. So particularly when you have large kind of concrete structures like we do, flat roofs, and even our roof tiles, they all absorb heat during the day then, and then they release heat slowly during the night. And so our houses are designed like to keep heat in and to keep us warm, which is perfectly understandable given our climate to date. The issue, of course, then becomes that, you know, our climate is changing rapidly. And as we've seen this summer, you know, we can expect kind of hotter, more frequent hotter summers. And our homes are kind of designed for the opposite of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So our homes are designed now to kind of, they're bringing in a lot of heat, which is not what people want. On top of that, then, we have a whole proliferation of apartments in Ireland that we traditionally didn't have for, you know, for many, many decades. We had flats in the city centre in the 30s, 20s, 30s and 40s. And then we didn't do a whole lot of kind of apartment living. And now, since in the last decade, there's been a whole, you know, plethora of apartments everywhere. The issue there is that they're modern. And again, they're very high standard for kind of retaining heat. But what we're trying to do now, or what the minister's trying to do now, is reduce the standards in them in order to kind of basically improve profitability for developers so more of them will be built. And the standards then that they kind of want to change are things like floor-to-ceiling heights, so to make them lower, to make them smaller. And the critical one, Claire, is to make more of them single aspect. So single aspect is basically you have a window on one side of your apartment. And typically, you know, my very first apartment years ago when I bought it in Chapel, it's like the kitchen was in a dark corner at the back of the living room and the windows were on the other side of the room. And when you only have windows on one side of a room, Claire, you can't get what we call cross ventilation. So, you know, in a house, I'm looking at my particularly my own house, when it's very hot, I open the front door and I open the window at the back of the kitchen and the air kind of flows through the house. Yes. And cools the house down. Yeah, it's called cross ventilation, and that's what you do.
You won't get but that in the smaller apartments.
Well, only if you won't get it in the smaller apartments, A, in smaller apartments, but B, if you can only open a window or a door or, you know, a window on one side. Mm-hmm. There's nothing for the air to cross through.
Also on that, Lorcan, some of the windows in the newer apartments don't open fully either. That's a safety feature, isn't it?
Well, there's two things, yeah. One, there's window restrictors are on any window above like 1.4 metres high. There's a window restrictor on them. And that's to prevent kids opening the window and falling out from the first, second, third, fifth floor. Perfectly understandable. Nearly all of those are, you know, you can flip them and you can kind of, you can get them to open out. In some rented accommodation, however, the landlords have precluded the tenants from doing that. Right, so the landlords have said you can't remove the window restrictor or you can't open it. So the tenants are sitting there going, I'm baking here in my small one-bed apartment that I'm paying $2,500 a month for, and I can't open the window to ventilate the place as much as I could. The other thing that the standards have changed to do is to remove the requirement for balconies. Now, balconies, apart from the mental health effect of balconies, like balconies were hugely important during COVID. You know, when we were all trapped in our houses, and particularly we saw this, like I used to live in Belgium, we've seen my friends in Belgium telling me how important the idea of a balcony was, and you could go out and kind of make a bit of mental space for yourself, but also for ventilation. When you can open a door rather than a little window on one side of the house and maybe a window on the back, they are hugely important for cross-ventilation. And cross-ventilation is the biggest way. So I have a colleague in work, Mark Mulden, and he did a lot of research for the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, SEAI, and they found that the quickest way to cool the Irish housing is this cross ventilation. But if you remove things like balconies and windows on both sides, it's very hard to do that.
Just I want to talk to you about A-rated houses as well, because they are so desirable now. And you see that from asking prices. You see that, that's one of the first things that people will look at when they're going to buy a house is the B or rating. But anecdotally, we hear about people who are in their A-rated home in November wearing shorts. Like they're really, really warm. Now, what happens when and if our temperatures become like they were a couple of weeks ago here in Ireland for a sustained period of time over the summer? It's going to be really difficult to be in those homes.
It'll be suffocating to be in those homes. Now, part of the reason that people have problems in A-rated homes and higher is that they don't fully know how to use them properly. You know what I mean? There are ways to use these homes to kind of maximize the ventilation and to manage the heat in them. But a lot of the standards that we have, like particularly when you get into passive house, so passive house means it's generating no, it's generating as much kind of energy as it's using, for example. Even when you get into that, what we would think is a very high standard of housing, you can still have a lot of issues with overheating. So it's a tricky one to manage. So this is why the idea, like you won't get away with managing all of this through technology or through engineering solutions. This is why, like as Mark and work found, that the quickest way to do this is cross ventilation. So you use the natural attributes that you have in a country to kind of to ameliorate the worst of it. You know, as they've done for centuries abroad. You know, the idea of buying air conditioners, right, is obviously it's an instant solution, right? And we saw in France last Monday week in France, Carrefour, the big kind of French supermarket. It's in Spain and Italy as well, and they sold 30,000 air conditioners in one day, right? In 10 hours, they sold 30,000, which is 1,000 times more than they normally would. They normally sell 300, and that's a kind of a panic reaction from people. But putting an air conditioner into a house, yeah, it'll solve your problem for that, you know, that period that you need to do it, apart from the expense. But it's not a long-term solution because it creates like more emissions, uses more electricity. And ultimately, and we saw that in France when they were selling like 30,000 air conditioners in one day, the spot price of electricity rose because 30,000 new people were plugging in their air conditioners that afternoon.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense as a solution. So are you saying then that along with making sure that we have warm, well-insulated, low energy consumption houses, that we should also be making sure that they're well ventilated and that they can be cool in the summer? And how much energy and capital do you spend on that when at the moment that period of time when in the year when it's going to be really warm, it's going to be relatively short, right?
You don't need to spend anything on it, really. We had standards that were there already, Claire, that would have allowed for a greater proportion of what we call dual aspect. So, you know, apartments with windows on more than one side there. And the government have gone in under pressure from the development lobby. The government have gone and changed those standards to make them worse effectively. So we had, and going back like since 2007, we have consistently decreased our housing standards. Like we've increased them in terms of energy uses, but actually the livability in them, like we've made them smaller, we've made the floor to ceiling heights lower. And we've consistently done that, and we don't need to do that. So it's not as if we need to spend a whole lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here by creating smaller units, we're increasing the profitability for developers in order to encourage them to kind of build more. But we're reducing the quality and the living standard for everybody who has to live in them.
So you're saying go back to the old standard?
It's a no-brainer, Claire. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, these were all designed with a whole lot of attention given to the viability of making profits out of apartments, but there was no attention given to the viability of having to live in them, you know.
What about our outside spaces then? Do we need to look at redesigning places outside to accommodate the climate change, to accommodate higher temperatures in Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. We really need to rethink about how we do things. Like, it's funny, in Irish cities, like things like public seating, right, are seen as a bad place because young people might come and actually use them and sit down and hang around them, or you know, people who hang around the streets might actually sit down and use them. In continental Europe and other countries, these are just a natural thing that you put in. The council puts in seating. And if you look at our even so what you need is seating, but also you need shade, right? You need a lot of shade, so the seating should be under the shade. You go to northern Spain, a place I'm going to Spain next week, I will see trees and seating underneath that. But also, if you look around Irish roads, right, and things like bus stops, how many bus stops, A, don't have any seating on them, and B, don't have any shelters? So if you go down the N7, on the way to Cork or Limerick or whatever, you'll see bus stops on the N7 and there's not even a seat beside them, never mind shelter. So we're going to have to start rethinking our urban design, basically, how we design spaces and places for people.
Do you think that that conversation is being had in the places where it needs to happen?
Oh, I think there's an awareness of it, but I don't think it's taken seriously enough. And we can see that in the fact that the standards have been reduced rather than kind of standards being changed to ameliorate the worst effects of kind of increased temperatures in the summer. The standards have been reduced. So it's not as if these people who are writing the standards don't know about this. It's just that they're not willing to take them into account. So that's with the buildings. In the public spaces, yeah, I think like people, planners and councils are generally fairly clued in. And they know this. But again, it'll come down to budgets and things like that. You know, they're also terrified of putting in places where putting in facilities in urban areas where they're afraid that kind of kids will come along and hang around. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
That attracting undesirable behavior or whatever. Like, but it functions perfectly well everywhere else. And when you have enough, look at public seating, you know, along, say, I'm trying to think of places where there are public seats in, but they're specifically designed so you won't stay there for more than 5 minutes. Like, they're designed to be uncomfortable. They're designed so you won't lie down on them. You know, we need to kind of get our heads around public spaces being usable for, you know, for the general public.
That seems to make sense. Lorcan, thank you very much. Lorcan Sarah there from the Technological University of Dublin.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.